mixed reaction to that, Ronan, okay, as you might imagine. Ronan Mullins is centre-right. I would have thought he was being right of right. Ronan would be a fresh alternative independent voice for a rural vote so often forgotten in Europe, says Eamon, who's in Leitrim. Paul says, is this a party political broadcast or an interview? Are you going to ask a man about the new property bubble? What about the new property bubble, Ronan? What are you doing about it?
Well, the one thing I've learned in politics is don't make promises you can't keep. I mean, that's part of the problem. That's why I think Lucinda Creighton is right when she says it's not so much do we need a new political party, but do we need a new politics. The new property bubble doesn't exist for an awful lot of people. It exists in some parts of the country.
And it only really exists in the posh parts of Dublin. That's where the property bubble is. Though there seems to be foreign investors coming in buying up things because there seem to be a bit of a bargain at the moment. But in terms of our, going back to the Europe thing, in terms of our relationship with Europe then, in big picture, you wouldn't see it probably changing that much then.
Which, our relationship
With Europe,
No, I mean, I think Ireland's a small country and we have to, you know, there are just so many issues we've got to suck up right now, you know, I think it's great that we have to, you know, push as hard as we can, for example, to get retrospective capitalisation of the banks and so on. But whether we get that or not, we have nothing big to threaten at this stage. You know, we've done what we did. We played our part in keeping German pensions and funds safe, you know, by bailing out our banks. But we're in a situation now where we have to be as cooperative as possible, as constructive as possible for the sake of the entire European economy. That doesn't mean, though, that there aren't decisions where we won't have to negotiate for our own best interests as well, particularly around resources. And, you know, there are ethical issues there too. I mean, some of the countries that have come in to the European, become part of the European Union, are in a place where we once were. You know, and I mean, that's one of the great positive things about the European Union, and that it was a great and is a great peace project. There is a concept of solidarity at the heart of it in terms of bringing up the standard of living for everybody. As I said, I'm a small farmer. I've directly benefited from the solidarity dimension of the European Union. But I think what the European Union has never quite managed to acquire is a soul. And you have this, you know, if you look at our American friends and how passionate they get about the flag, nobody is going to get passionate about the European flag. And we just need to maintain our sense of individual, you know, national pride without it being a national chauvinism.
There's an interesting parallel there that strikes me that over the last few years, amongst most Europeans, there's been something of a disenchantment with the European Union. And it's in danger of becoming what many Americans feel about Washington, D.C., that they kind of hate that kind of government.
Yes.
Because you do get a sense, and we did do a show in Brussels for a couple of days, you do get a sense of it is in a kind of a bubble, that it refers to itself. People are running around with pieces of paper and lanyards, and it's all very exciting, but it bears no there is a disconnect between what happens in Leitrim and what happens in Brussels.
Absolutely, and you're right, but the parallel, though, I think only goes so far with the United States, in that people dislike the government in Washington, but they love the union, you know, and they love the sense of unity. Whereas it's partly to do with language. I think it is partly to do with the bureaucratic way that Brussels and the European institutions go about things. I mean, the European Union spends a lot of resources trying to make itself loved as well. I mean, you only have to go on the EU websites to see all the positive stuff and resources for teachers. It's, you know, and it's federalists are celebrated, and they're you don't get quite the sense that they would, you know, celebrate nation state people to the same extent. But, you know, as I said, I think it's legitimate to have mixed feelings about the EU project. There's a huge amount that's good, there's a huge amount that's been positive. The question is, what is the ultimate logic of the European Union? Does it have to go more and more towards the federal super state? There are undoubtedly bureaucrats at the highest level and Europhiles in all the countries who want that. They want the EU to be a superpower, to match the emerging BRICS countries, to match the United States, to match China. And they see that the only way you can be European in the world and effective is to be a superpower. That obviously makes some of us nervous here in Ireland because of our tradition of neutrality and so on. But the other side of it is, and I would give, you know, I have qualms about some aspects of what's done with development aid and the way it's done and the ethical implications of some of it. But I do like the fact that the EU is, you know, the world leader really in terms of per capita development aid giving, you know. And that's
what qualms do you have about some of the way it's distributed?
Well, I'm not a fan of massive investment in population control, for example, and I don't like when that tips over into a, you know, abortion-friendly activity and so on. I'm a big believer in, you know, for me, development aid is about helping people improve their quality of life. I think one, you know, for a country like Ireland should always be stressing farming. You know, invest in helping people to farm better. You know, many of the countries that currently receive development.
Strictly speaking, farming doesn't stop you having babies.
No. But what I'm trying.
There's the connection.
I'm trying to say, there's a lot of European money spent in kind of with an ideological framework in mind. Say, you know, let's have less children, and we'll all have a better future. And people will go to any lengths, including destroying life, in order to have less children in the world. I don't like that ideological model that sometimes permeates UN attitudes and sometimes permeates EU attitudes. Where I think is you work with people where they're at, you honour their human dignity, and as I said, a country like Ireland should always stress, you know, investment. We can do so much given the quality of our farming and our approach to farming, to sharing our know-how, our expertise, to help people get the most. And, you know, organisations like, you know, Self-Aid and so on, Bóthair, emphasise that. And I think, you know, particularly this time of the year, we're all listening to goats, you know, the Bóthair Christmas gifts and so on, and Trocar and all of those. I think people understand and sympathise greatly with that ground up kind of assistance. I know you also need resources to, you know, help people be more active citizens, to empower women in politics. That's all good stuff as well. It's about giving people the fishing rod as well as the fish. But as I said, I have a particular sympathy, and I really do see the value of farming aid.
In the minute that I have left, and I deliberately didn't ask you about abortion over the last half an hour because...
Just thank you, because I'm not a one-trick pony.
Well, you see, that's what I wanted to ask you. Is it, for you, is it a political danger that you're just the abortion guy, and that's why people vote for you or don't vote for you? And that seems to frame everyone's reaction to you rather than, you know, considering whether you might have... Yeah. And now, I mean, the text I read out from someone saying, I thought he was right. I'm inferring that's just a reaction to your stance upon abortion and those kind of issues rather than economics or anything else.
Well, look, I suppose I've always said it's a really important issue. It matters greatly to me. I see it as a human rights issue. It's for people of all faiths.
And you've been very honest about that. But can it be disadvantageous to you slightly? Because
I would think I'm definitely pigeonholed by elements of the media, you know, but you know, that's part of the price you pay for taking a principled stand on an issue that's dear to you. And I can't say I regret any aspect of that. But people who know me and people who maybe get me emails or people who kind of follow a bit what I do politically would know that there's an awful lot more to my concerns than that, you know. So I'm happy to prove that to people over the next few months, hopefully.
Okay, Ronan, thanks a million for coming in to us today. Senator Ronan there, Mullins, will be back with the news.